Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 10th of November, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast friends, our partners at KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 out of Douglas, serving Cochise County. We are live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of previous programs. There's also live streaming at kvoi.com. And the Buckmaster Show continues to grow the opportunity for you to listen to the program anywhere, anytime. The show can be heard anytime at buckmastershow.com. It's also available anytime at tucsonsentinel.com. The Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service, and thanks to a new agreement hammered out last week with the Tucson Citizen, the Buckmaster Show is available 24/7 at tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Today's lineup includes a leadoff interview with Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick, who is also the vice mayor of the city of Tucson. 30 minutes past the hour, we welcome Tucson-based travel writer Richard Grant. His latest travel adventure book centers around the search for a virtually unexplored area of East Africa. And then we will talk about what is this about the government giving unlimited power to monitor people in public through the use of GPS devices or other tracking technology? We'll talk with Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show contributor, on our legal affairs about that. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, and you can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, please let us know. We begin now this Thursday with Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick, the vice mayor for the city of Tucson. Karen, good to talk with you.
Thank you, Bill.
It's good to talk with you about the election. Tucson voters pretty much keeping the status quo, and it's a little confusing because we keep hearing, Councilwoman, about how angry the voters are, yet in the city of Tucson it is giving the voters pretty much status quo, Democrats a clean sweep. What do you make of the election results?
Well, Bill, I definitely do think that voters are feeling very discouraged still by the economy and overall are not satisfied with the progress that government at all levels is making to solve key problems like the economic growth that we need to see. At the same time, it boils down to individual relationships and track records. And I think that people in Tucson pay attention. And I believe they looked at the candidates and looked at the values that those candidates hold. And for the incumbents, the hard work that I think members of the council have undertaken to balance the budget in tough times and protect Tucson residents from, an erosion of key things that they need from their local government. So I feel that Councilmember Romero and Scott in particular will ultimately win the election because of demonstrated hard work and good work.
And there will be a new mayor, a Democratic mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, who will be my Friday Focus interview here in studio with me tomorrow. What do you look for with the new mayor now running things at the council?
Well, I'm really pleased that Jonathan is going to be joining the mayor and council and serve as the new mayor. He's born and raised in Tucson, which I think is so critical. He really has always worked hard to benefit the community and has found a new expression of his commitment to service in the mayor's office. I was really heartened by his comments on election night. He focused on the pain and suffering of working families in Tucson, and I think he really wants to demonstrate that we are going to continue to run this local government with a sensitivity to the people who live and work in Tucson.
What did you think about the news? Perhaps you've not even heard it yet about Richard Carmona, former U.S. Surgeon General, announcing that he will be running as a Democrat for the seat that Senator Kyle will be vacating.
You know, I did just actually learn of that a few minutes ago, and I think that he will be a very strong candidate for the seat. I've always been impressed with Dr. Carmona's integrity and his commitment to service. He's a man who I think really speaks his mind and listens to people to do his best. I do know that Don Bivens and perhaps others will step in. I'll be certainly interested in how that race unfolds and clearly rooting for new leadership on behalf of Arizonans in the Senate.
It's 10 minutes past 12. This is the Buckmaster Show. Karen Ulick is with us, getting back to the election of this week. What did you, or how did you think the all-male, the first city's first really all-male election went, Karen?
You know, overall, I think that turnout has been extremely strong, and that is a key goal of vote-by-mail systems. I do want to review with the city clerk, you know, all of the security measures that are in place to make sure people's privacy is protected and make sure that as we continue with our election system that we protect the integrity of the election process while at the same time getting as many people as we can to cast their ballots. It's important, and I think the turnout numbers show that it does indeed facilitate broader and higher levels of participation in elections.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to talk with Councilwoman Ulick, our Buckmaster Show live line is now open for any of your questions. Let's talk about that front page piece in the Arizona Daily Star, Councilwoman. No city furloughs through June of 2012. That has to be good news to city employees.
It is good news, Bill. And I really was instrumental in putting together the budget for both last year and this year, and I'm very pleased that furloughs can be lifted. That means more hours of service to the public and really the lifting of a burden on working people in our community, public employees who work hard and have had furloughs for 3 years now. So it's very good news. The other good news is that we will not have to restructure debt another time to balance the budget, and we will also be sustaining and even adding a bit to our rainy day fund. If you look at how Tucson has navigated this downturn, we have cut the budget quite dramatically. We did not have to lay off police officers or close fire stations as many communities did, and it really sustained a rainy day cushion just in case things got even worse. I think we've been real responsible, and the good news is we are beginning to see signs of recovery taking hold.
So the city sales tax collections, I believe in 2008, were roughly $196 million, and it looks like for 2011 the city's collected $168 million. So it is coming back, isn't it?
It is starting to rebound, absolutely. And, you know, we averted very poor options like a renter's tax and other sources of revenue, and just found ways of balancing the budget that definitely ask everybody, including our employees, to contribute a fair share toward fixing the problem. I think that now we can really look forward to restoring some fundamental services like street repairs and bolstering public safety, those kinds of things that Tucsonans have been incredibly patient about and looking forward to this day of restoring some of those fundamental services.
It's 12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. Sandra would like to talk with Councilwoman Karen Ulick. Sandra, you are on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead with the Councilwoman.
Thank you. Hi, Councilwoman. I'm a little concerned about your statement that you said that the turnout was extraordinary. I don't believe that 42% of the voting public is extraordinary. It seems like it would be extraordinary if it was 60 or 70%. I feel that we have a lot of voter apathy in Tucson, and I don't know what your feelings are on increasing that voting percentage.
Thank you, Sandra. Let's hear from Councilwoman Ulick.
Sandra, you make a good point. It's I was speaking relative to other local elections like this one. The turnout has been strong, but in all elections, we fail to see the kind of participation and turnout that we would like to see. And, you know, I think that everything from the Occupy movements across the country to what you read in local letters to the editor points to the fact that people, you know, folks are losing faith in their government, and people are not going to participate unless they believe it's going to make a difference in the kind of government they get. So I would say, rather than simply focusing on elections specifically or turnout specifically, we have to, as a community, find a way to restore the faith and confidence of the public in their government and really demonstrate that it matters. When they vote, it matters.
And I think Sandra really does bring up a good point. Many people feel that they don't have a say. Wouldn't you agree with that, Councilwoman?
I would, Bill, and I think that it's a real challenge in government leadership to remember that the number one piece of the job description is to listen, and I think the other piece is to respond to the public's will, even if it means the possibility of losing the next election. We need to really look for public leaders who are willing to respond to the needs of the public and let the chips where they fall in the election. You know, I think Shirley's race is going to be very close. My race in 2009 was close, and that was agonizing on one level, but I feel proud of that in some sense, because I was willing to make real tough decisions knowing full well that it could cost me that election. And I think that that's an important thing to look for in public leadership.
All right, it's 12:17. Karen Ulick is with us on the Buckmaster Show. If you would like to join the conversation, 790-2040. Karen, we're going to keep you over through the break until the bottom of the hour, and we thank you for joining the discussion. So stay with us on the Buckmaster Show. Karen Ulick will be back, and we will be back on the Buckmaster Show, the Thursday edition.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Spiro Amori presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Spiro Amori. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Spiro Amori in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at SpiroAmoriPizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you too can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
It's 12:20 on the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, the home of the Buckmaster Show. Karen Ulick, Tucson City Councilwoman and Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Tomorrow, I want to remind you that on our Friday Focus at 12:04, we will begin with a interview with the mayor-elect of the City of Tucson. Jonathan Rothschild will be with us, and then we'll have our Friday Reporters Roundtable at about 12:30. That's coming up tomorrow. Back with Karen Ulick. Karen, the Tucson City Council is pushing loans to create jobs. I think the three words kind of summarize what we've heard time and time again. Tucson needs jobs.
Absolutely. The focus right now is making sure particularly that smaller local firms can get access to financing in order to stay and grow and prosper. That's where job growth happens in Tucson, those smaller companies adding jobs. So we've successfully, along with other communities in the state, we're getting a lot more small business loan revenues through the federal SBA. And in addition, we're looking at ways that we can leverage city resources to help businesses secure loans and economic incentives. It's not the sort of old day type of approach to try and throw money at companies to beg them to come to Tucson. We want companies that have already chosen Tucson and love Tucson as much as we do and who want to grow and stay here.
Buckmaster Show live line now. We go to Roy and Ray is with us with Councilwoman Karen Ulick, and Ray, I believe, wants to also talk about mail-in voting. Go ahead, Ray.
Yes. I also wanted to talk about Occupy Tucson, what role the city council has, if any. But getting back to the question that I had, I was in a McDonald's recently, and I overheard a couple of people saying that they work in a nursing home. And they, apparently somebody went by and registered a whole lot of people for the voting process, and so they all received a mail-in ballot. Now, the people that attend to them said that they went, from patient to patient, and basically most of them didn't know what they were doing. They just signed their name, and so they were filling out whoever they felt was their favorite candidate. And to me, that smacked the voter fraud. You know, these people weren't actually voting. They were just signing the voting envelope.
So Ray, you're worried about the possibility for fraud in the mail-in.
Right, and in a close election, that can make all the difference.
Okay, let's hear from Karen Ulick on that.
You know, I definitely think that there are concerns we need to continue to address along with cities and communities around the country to secure vote-by-mail systems more. I mean, the truth is when you sign that ballot, you are signing an affidavit that confirms that you are the person who completed that ballot, and your signature, just as when you sign a check, the signature serves as your oath and verification that that's your ballot. It does not prevent families from sitting down together to collaborate and decide how each might vote, each member. That happens in advance of going to the polls oftentimes anyway. But I hear the concern. I have heard other concerns about when you turn your ballot in at the polls. Could somebody look at that ballot and tie it to your signature so that privacy is violated? So we need to have a follow-up discussion with the city clerk, and we really do need to make sure we're doing everything possible to keep the system secure.
It's 12:25 on the Buckmaster Show. I want to bring up texting while driving. You and your colleague, Councilman Member Steve Kasachek, are pushing for a discussion about banning texting while driving. Where does that stand right now?
Bill, I'm pleased that the mayor and council has referred it to a public hearing, probably within around 30 days for further discussion. I think the evidence is quite compelling. It's not like any other form of distracted driving. It's not like when you eat a hamburger while you're driving or something like that. Studies have shown the level of impairment when you're texting is far more comparable to drunk driving. And I think the evidence shows that it's really something that that if it were against the law, people would be far less likely just to take that chance and try and zip a text out while they're behind the wheel. So I think both Councilmember Kasachek and I are pleased to see this moving toward a public hearing and potential action. Phoenix has a law on the books, and we're looking at that as a model to build from.
Yeah, there was a texting bill that failed in the state legislature, but other cities seem to be picking up the ball, don't they, on this?
Yeah, I think that short of statewide action, it really, the onus is on each community to decide whether we want to adopt that here.
Quickly running out of time, but I do want to address the Fox Theater. I think the public may be a bit confused. There was a headline in the paper back in late October, Fox Theater is in the black for the first time since 2006. And then in today's Star, there's talk that, well, the Fox really has financial trouble. So where are we with this? What's your take on it?
I think that, the Fox was restored with significant investment through the Downtown Resource and Rio Nuevo. So, in order to balance the budget for the Fox without including repayment of loans and debt service, that is still a trend in the right direction. But whether or not, we're really out of the woods with the Fox is yet to be seen. It is an important historic asset and entertainment asset. I would like to see venues like the Fox, the Convention Center Music Hall in Leo Rich, and even the Rialto come together to form some kind of entertainment district that would help all of those venues stay booked and really become even more financially viable.
Looking ahead to next year, certainly this ongoing dispute between the city and the Rio Nuevo board will continue to make headlines. Also, something will have to be done. Perhaps you agree with me about the TCC.
Oh, absolutely. The investments the city has been investing, we have had to do that. It's important to hold on to things like the Gem and Mineral Show. Unfortunately, in some ways, Bill, I think Rio Nuevo was structured in a way that was doomed for this kind of controversy because it has the legislature, which, as you know, often disagrees with the city of Tucson, sort of co-managing and co-overseeing Rio Nuevo with the city. And surprise, surprise, that leads to a whole lot of conflict that is unnecessary when we could focus on what we agree on, the The convention center needs investment. Infrastructure draws private investment, and so we should continue to build on the infrastructure in the area and let those private dollars flow as they are now into the downtown.
Karen Ulick, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. I hope you have a great Veterans Day and a great weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Karen Ulick with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up, we'll be talking to Tucson-based writer Richard Grant about his adventure travel book, Crazy River is the title. It takes place in East Africa. That's coming up. And then legal advisor Don Luce will talk more about this ban on drivers texting that's catching on across the country, those bans. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Senate Judiciary Committee has voted to repeal DOMA. That's the federal law defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman. The vote, 10-8, with all committee Democrats favoring repeal and all Republicans opposing it. An attorney who's advising some of the victims in the Penn State child sexual abuse scandal says he's concerned that they could become scapegoats. Those who are angry about Joe Paterno's sudden departure as a longtime football coach at the school. Occupy demonstrations at the University of California, Berkeley today. They've led to more than 36 arrests so far. Updating Wall Street, stocks still in positive territory. The Dow's up about 120 points. The NASDAQ better by 3. The S&P 10 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, along with our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas. We figure that the Buckmaster Show is heard in about 8 of Arizona's 15 counties, and of course you can the show continues to grow as far as where you can find the show 24/7, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and now our latest agreement with the Tucson Citizen, tucsoncitizen.com. Well, there are very few unexplored places in the world, but Tucson-based writer Richard Grant found one of those relatively unexplored places in East Africa, and he writes about his adventures in a new book titled Crazy River, Exploration and Folly in East Africa. As a travel writer, Richard Grant works have appeared widely, many top American publications. He's also the author of American Nomads and God's Middle Finger, that takes place in a remote area of the Sierra Madre Mountains in Mexico. And Richard Grant joins me now in studio on the Buckmaster Show. Richard, good to see you.
Always good to see you, Bill.
You are the traveling man, I'll tell you. That trip to East Africa, it didn't. Well, tell me how the whole this project began and what it evolved into.
Well, it began as an attempt to make the first descent by boat of the Malagarasi River in Tanzania. I heard there was this 330-mile river that no one had ever gone down in a boat before, and nobody could tell me what was there along the river. The internet had barely heard of it in 2007. I'm attracted by blank spaces on maps.
There are a few of them in the world,
there
but
are,
most
yeah.
people assume, you know, everything's been explored. But this was one of those kind of back burner places, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obscurity was the main reason. But of course, we couldn't find out why no one had gone down it because nothing had been written about it. So
where do you begin in a case like that? I mean, the trip started as a journey to go down this river.
Well, I decided I wanted to go from Zanzibar to the source of the Nile and to make the first descent of this river along the way. First thing you need to do is find a good guide, and I found a great guide who had made the first descent of other African rivers. Only problem was he backed out on me at the 11th hour, and I showed up there alone with no real plan. And
in Zanzibar, he backs out?
Just before I got on the plane. Yeah, I had my vaccinations and tickets and everything.
You were all excited to go off exploring this 330-mile-long river, and now you have no guide. So what happens next?
Well, I'm in Zanzibar, and wondering what I'm going to do. And the first night in Zanzibar, I meet this kind of golf pro on the skids who speaks fluent Swahili and fluent English, and I end up spending 3 weeks exploring the low life of Zanzibar and delaying my river trip. And finally, we got across to the mainland, and I got hold of another guide. But he was also unable to find out any reliable information about this river. He found out the locals call it the River of Bad Spirits. And he found out there were supposed to be a lot of hippos and crocodiles and lions.
So you made your way eventually to the river.
Yeah, we made our way to the river. And not only did I fail to make the complete first descent of this river, I really had kind of a fiasco on the river.
Things went wrong.
Things went wrong, yeah. We were worried about hippos and crocodiles, and they were there. We weren't quite so prepared for bandits and armed poaching gangs. We weren't prepared for a vast impenetrable swamp. Our satellite maps and GPS failed to detect a 100-foot waterfall because the cameras look straight down and the water runs straight down. So yeah, we found basically local knowledge and satellite technology to be equally unreliable.
So you gave up on going down the length of the river?
Well, what happened eventually was that the river got so short of water that our raft would no longer float. So we were basically dragging the raft over the rocks for days and days and days. And then we ripped out the bottom of the raft and proceeded by fishing boat.
Plan B then takes effect?
Yeah, I mean,
or was there
plan B? We were onto like plan Z by now.
Plan Z.
Yeah.
Richard Grant is with us. The book is Crazy River. His previous book, we interviewed you, I think that was a couple of years ago, about God's Middle Finger, about the Sierra Madre. What is your attraction to these these places that are a little bit off the beaten
path? Kind of remote, lawless places. Yeah, it just something about, you know, when I wrote about the Sierra Madre, there was almost nothing known about what was going on down there.
And which is kind of surprising because it's not, you don't really have to travel that far.
No, I mean, it sits on Arizona's back doorstep.
Yeah, to the Sierra Madre, but it's one of these little explored or little traveled to places.
Well, I think this is what writers are for, partly, is to sort of go forth and bring back the news about what's going on in the world.
You eventually made it to Rwanda.
I made it to...
Met with the president of
Rwanda. Yeah, I interviewed the president of Rwanda.
You were impressed with him?
Very impressed, and also slightly scared of him.
Why is that?
People that say bad things about him often end up in bad circumstances. I mean, he wouldn't take the chance of, you know, locking me up, but he doesn't respond well to criticism. But he's done an extraordinary job in that country. I mean, he inherited a genocidal ground zero, and now Rwanda is the safest, cleanest, most prosperous, and most one of the most peaceful countries in Africa.
And one of the most beautiful. I know that tourists spend big money to go see the remaining 300-plus mountain gorillas that still exist.
Yeah, unfortunately, my money belts were too low. I really wanted to see the gorillas, but they wanted $1,000, and I was really kind of skimping by the time I got up to Rwanda.
When you were in Rwanda, you write that you were very impressed with the reconciliation program that is going on there.
Yeah, I mean, they have this terrible legacy of ethnic hatred between Hutu and Tutsi, and the government has basically commanded the two people to get along with each other for the sake of the country, and it's by no means a perfect thing, and it's basically they're trying to do the impossible and succeeding extraordinarily well.
What was your culture shock coming back to Tucson after the first? How long were you gone? How long were you in Africa?
I was in Africa for 3.5 months.
Okay.
And coming back to Tucson, culture shock, I would say, was severe. The day after I got back, I went to PetSmart. And, you know, I'd been come from these sort of huts in Rwanda where people, the problems in their life were kind of war, genocide, hunger, land shortage. And then I'm in the PetSmart wheeling my cart through the dog dental aisle and past the cat toys and past the grooming salon where they're kind of blow drying, you know, these fluffy dogs. And then I got up to the cash register and there was a sign there saying, for $7,000, you can enroll in our pet massage school.
And you've just come from an area where $7,000 would be a king's ransom.
Yeah, I mean you could support a family for about 2 or 3 years.
The poverty is just, it is, for those who have not been to East Africa, the poverty can be overwhelming, can't it?
Yes, I mean, it kind of wears away. You try and sort of compartmentalize it in one part of your head just to keep going, but the amount of suffering and poverty that you see, it just kind of wears away at you mentally.
What about the search for the source of the Nile? That had been one of the big, I guess, of the 19th century. That was one of the big plums in the crown of exploration, right?
Exactly. And all the way back to ancient Greece and Rome, that the idea was that the source of the Nile, there's these mysterious waters that flowed through Egypt and enabled civilization to flourish in Egypt.
And what did you reckon, coming away from all that, about the source of the Nile?
Well, I'm going to give away something here.
Go ahead.
The source of the Nile is really just a muddy little hole in the side of a mountain with a little trickle of water coming out of it and a badly spelled sign saying, "This is Nile Source."
This is Nile Source. After all that, long way to find.
I'd say it was the only anticlimax of my whole journey in Africa.
What are you going to be doing next? You were mentioning to me before we went on, you've got a trip planned to an island nation that is still quite mysterious to many of us in the United States.
Madagascar, an island off the east coast of Africa. I'm not looking forward to the flying, but I'm looking forward to seeing the... It's a very unique place. They call it the Eighth Continent. Human beings have only been there for 2,000 years, and very strange
the life forms. The wildlife diversity is supposed to be absolutely amazing.
Unlike anywhere else.
What would you like the reader to take away from Crazy River? What do you think the message that you would like to send to the reader?
That the world is still big and strange and astonishing. The future is out there making itself, and learn a little bit about, what's going on over there.
Richard Grant, always a pleasure to see you. The name of the book is Crazy River, Exploration and Folly in East Africa. Good luck to you and your future travels.
Thank you, Bill, and same to you.
Thanks a lot. Richard Grant has been with us. He is based here in Tucson, but he likes to go other places, and he's usually on the road most times, and we're glad that he could stop by the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us, 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Our legal advisor, Don Luce, is coming up next.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pedorthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Thank you.
1249 on the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. We are live Monday through Friday, AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, our home station for the Buckmaster Show. The United States Supreme Court justices, well, both conservative and liberal, are voicing alarm at the idea of giving the government unlimited power to monitor people in public through the use of GPS devices or other tracking technology. We'll talk more about that now with Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates, whose offices are located in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's also the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Mr. Luce, Don, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Thank you.
This is very troubling. I would join the Supreme Court justices in being troubled about the potential that well, I could be tracked by GPS.
Under the FBI's policy, anybody can be tracked by GPS. The controversy involves a case that the Supreme Court heard oral arguments on this week. The defendant in the case, Anton Jones, was actually tracked by the FBI, and he was arrested for trafficking cocaine and then convicted. The Court of Appeals, however, set aside his conviction, saying, look, that amounted to an unreasonable or amounted to a search without a warrant, and he had a reasonable expectation of privacy. So there are conflicting decisions within the various circuits around the country, and the Supreme Court is going to decide whether putting a GPS device on a person's car without their knowledge and without a warrant violates that person's reasonable expectation of privacy. It's anybody's guess how it's going to come out, but I can tell you this, the justices are very troubled by the notion that an FBI agent sitting in an office monitoring a computer screen can essentially conduct surveillance over somebody over whom he doesn't have probable cause to have a warrant issued.
This could be a huge issue, couldn't it, coming up?
Well, you know, where do we draw the line, to use an analogy in the law regarding this reasonable expectation of privacy?
And basically unlimited surveillance is what we're talking about.
Exactly. You know, for years, public streets used to constitute areas where a person did not have a reasonable expectation of privacy. You know, you put your garbage out, it contains sensitive documents. The government did not need a search warrant to go through your garbage.
Right.
You leave it on your porch, different case. They cannot go through your garbage without a search warrant because you had a reasonable expectation of privacy. Those are the issues that are going to be decided in this GPS case.
Should you worry about putting a GPS device on your car?
I would be. Look, I don't have a problem if the government has probable cause and they get a search warrant, but that's not the case here. They did not have probable cause to obtain a search warrant. They attached the GPS device to this person's car, monitored or tracked his activities for 30 days or so, and then arrested him. I think the justices are troubled by this, and it's going to be a very interesting case to follow.
Attorney Don Luce is with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the discussion. Mr. Luce, we were talking, I think you heard this driving in, with Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick, the Vice Mayor, City of Tucson, telling us that the council now has decided there will be a public hearing in 30 days to move forward with this discussion on whether or not the City of Tucson will make it illegal to text while driving. Some of your thoughts about that.
Well, I heard the councilwoman suggest that texting is different than other distracted activities. And I'm also aware of the arguments against banning texting by the people who say it's already covered by the reckless driving law. If you do something while you're driving that is in reckless disregard of others' safety, then you are guilty of a Class 2 misdemeanor. And so the opponents of this ordinance say, look, it's already covered under a state law that prohibits reckless driving. And reckless driving might include reading a Kindle while you're driving your car or putting makeup on.
Yeah, I was just- as that we have all seen happen driving to work.
And, you know, so again, where do you draw the line? But maybe even more interesting is this notion of a patchwork of laws. You know, you're driving in Tucson and texting is prohibited. You leave the city boundary and now you can text until you get to Phoenix where it's again prohibited. I'm not sure that that's really the best way to address this issue. Now, Phoenix, which has had a ban since 2007, has issued a grand total of about 10 citations.
Oh, really?
In 4 years. So it is not, at least in the Phoenix metro area, a major issue.
Mark Spears is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. He would like to talk about the proposed texting ban. Go ahead, Mark. You're with Don Luce.
Hey, Don.
Hi, Mark.
I spoke out at the city council meeting last night in opposition to their action, and I do have to always preface to say I'm also opposed to texting while driving. It's not a good practice. But I found a lot of information after doing just a little bit of studies that gave me concern, and one was the Highway Lost Data Institute, who did a study and said that they get no difference in collisions whether or not there's one of these bans in place. And
well,
on top of that, then, as you mentioned, there may be an issue here with the enforcement, because how do you know what is texting? I mean, I gave them some examples of my phone, I can browse the Internet. Well, that's not texting.
Thank you, Mark.
You know, Mark, you raise a good point, and I think one of the reasons the legislature has failed on two separate occasions to enact legislation banning texting is because there is conflicting evidence about the effect of texting while driving. The U.S. Department of Transportation says that more than 5,500 people in the U.S. are killed in distracted driving accidents per year. I'm not sure what that means, and I'm sure there are many ways that a driver can be distracted. I agree with you. I don't think texting and driving is a safe practice, but I'm not sure that patchwork legislation from city to city is the answer either.
Yeah, it'd be very difficult, too, as Mark brings up that point. How do you enforce it? The officer, I don't know how even the 10 citations you cited that had been issued in the city of Phoenix, unless they were the officer was actually maybe at a stoplight next to the vehicle and saw the texting.
My understanding is the current proposal before the Tucson City Council would make it a secondary enforcement issue, which means that you would have to actually be stopped for some other traffic violation, similar to the seatbelt law. An officer would have to stop you for something other than texting while driving, and if he or she observed that you were texting, could cite you in that case.
The Arizona Supreme Court on Tuesday refused to temporarily reinstate the State Redistricting Commission Chairwoman Colleen Mathis, who was ousted a week earlier by Republican Governor Jan Brewer. That was a move that's touched off a huge legal and political battle. I think that was a good idea by the justices to make that decision.
Well, personally, I do, and the reason I do is because they haven't yet had an opportunity for a full briefing and arguments. Had a stay been issued, then the chairwoman would have essentially retained her position without the court having had the benefit of hearing the arguments about why she was removed. Now, interestingly, in 2000, Arizona voters approved an initiative that was supposed to take the redistricting out of the hands of the legislature and the governor.
That hasn't happened.
I don't know if it has or not, but what I do know is that Colleen Mathis was removed for gross misconduct and neglect of duty. The Senate confirmed with a two-thirds vote, and the Arizona Supreme Court on November 17th is going to hear arguments.
Don Luce is the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. The Arizona Laws 101, you never have a shortage of material, do you?
I do not. We live in a very interesting state for both law and politics.
And is there a new edition coming out?
In January, the second edition will be issued.
We are just about out of time, but the justices did nominate. Do you want a quick comment on the Ninth Circuit?
The Ninth Circuit, which covers 9 Western states and sets the law for us at the federal level, is currently in need of more judges. And our Arizona Supreme Court Justice Andrew Hurwitz has been nominated by President Obama to fill one of the vacancies.
That's good for Arizona.
Very good for Arizona. And assuming that he can achieve Senate confirmation, he will sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Don Luce, thank you. Always a pleasure. We'll see you in December.
Thanks, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Tomorrow on the Friday Focus, we will be talking with the Tucson mayor-elect, Jonathan Rothschild, will be our Friday Focus interview. Then the reporters in town, from The Star and TucsonCitizen.com, Sarah Garrett-Gasson and Mark Evans weigh in on the top stories of the week. Of course, we'll be talking about the election. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow at noon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.